Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
So as a run-up to Women's Month, which is next month, it's like, how many days away? We're like almost done with July, can you believe it? And then comes August, but I just felt, you know, as a run-up, I felt I had a word to celebrate women, and particularly the women at Rivers tonight. And we do celebrate all churches and all women, don't we? But I just felt God had a rhema word for us tonight. And in reading Acts chapter 16, God opened up something to me that I believe was profound in understanding the women and the local church. Now, I love women, and I love the local church, but God's my first love, of course. But that's just something that I'm totally and utterly passionate about. And, you know, in Acts 16, the background to that passage is that Paul and Silas and a company of missionaries were in Turkey. And God gave Paul a vision of a man. And this man was begging him to come over to Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is Old Greek. Jenny, where are you? Actually, Philippi, to be exact. And they decided, well, God has spoken. We're going to do this. We're going to go over from Turkey to Greece. And the first people they encountered were a group of women gathered at the Gangites River for prayer. So let's read Acts 16 from verse 13. It says, on the Sabbath, we went to a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. It's like someone must have told them there are people who meet at the Gangites River to pray. And some of them are Jews and some of them are Gentiles, which in itself is quite a big thing. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira. So can I just stop there again? Thyatira was exactly just where Paul had been. How amazing is that? So she is from Turkey, and he is in Turkey, and she is in Greece, and God tells him to go to Greece. It says she was a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed. I want to speak tonight on the power of the women at Rivers. The power of the women at Rivers, because I see the parallel. There was the Gangites River. There was Lydia and a whole lot of other women worshiping and praying. And I just see the parallel for us girls tonight. So on the Sabbath, Paul and his companions head out to the riverside and find a Jewish prayer meeting. And obviously there's Lydia, who is not a Jew, she's a Gentile, and she is recorded in history as the first European convert. It sort of reminds me of the woman at the well, doesn't it? Like that first Samaritan convert who ran into the city and just proclaimed, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And most of that place got saved. And this, here you have this amazing woman that was prepared by God for Paul to reach. The text says that there were a group of women who met there, and here Paul is about to share the gospel with them. I wonder why there were only women. Forgive me, but I sort of stop on scriptures. You know, even when I read the one-year Bible, I don't get very far in one day because I can't just go through it like a robot. I have to think about the words, and I have to think about what it felt like, what it looked like. And, you know, Yonomenia. Hello? or they're at Iron Man. Maybe that's where they were. So now, Paul had previously been a rabbi. Do you remember that? He was a rabbi. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he was the one who was murdering the Christians. And God had to knock him off his high horse. Remember? And it's amazing to me that there's a quote by a Jewish rabbi, and it reads, "It's better that the words of the law be burned than be delivered to a woman." My, how have things changed? Amen? Just so interesting to me that here is Paul the rabbi totally disregarding this quote and just taking time because God spoke and he acted and he asked no questions about what's going on here. Could it be that God intends the gospel for all? Yes. Could it be that God is no respecter of persons? Yes. Could it be that God intends the gospel for all stations of occasions, all colors and creeds? Yes. Could it be that God intends the gospel for male and female, young and old, black and white? Absolutely. That is the gospel. Everyone belongs. Amen. The Bible does not elaborate on the other women except Lydia. And what scholars have written about her is that she may have been a widow and that the Philippian church may have started in her home. The truth is that Philippi had no synagogue, but due to these women, a church was established called the Philippian church. Talk about the power of women. Talk about the power of women. It doesn't actually tell us that it started with 10 blokes who were Jews, head of their homes, because that's how a synagogue was started. If you go back in history and you do some research, you had to have 10 Jewish worshippers within a town or a city who, were heads of homes. And then a synagogue could be started within a house and then move out into a meeting place and then move into a building that was built through the generosity of the congregation. But you don't see this here. So if we read the book of Philippians, we find that Paul had a real affection for that church and the women there. So let's read quickly. Philippians 4, verse 1 to 3, it says, he's writing to them, he says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work." Hello! I've been a Christian for over 40 years. This has been such a revelation to me. When I walked through the doors of my local church, women didn't play a major part. They never taught us this. Amen? For those my age, or who know the Lord as long as me, this is groundbreaking stuff. If you're still struggling with the fact that women play such a powerful role within the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He then says, "Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche." My husband calls them Euomi, dear, and soon Tachi. "Please," he says, "because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner." And you know, Pastor Andre and I have spoken about this many, many years ago. We don't know who he's referring to, but could it be that might just be Lydia, right? "To help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life." The Philippian church had a dynamic duo in Syntyche and Euodia. They were heroes within the local church, and they were probably at the river Gangites when Lydia was there and where she had her conversion and where she had, you know, her and her household baptized. They were probably there, but you know, and they were founding members, but because of a contentious disruption to the work of God, all their efforts were tarnished because of this. And I think it's a warning to all of us that, you know, as one, you know, hand rubs the other, or as sparks fly, you know, as iron sharpens iron, sparks will fly. But don't let it become a seething, unforgiving, let's hate each other within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's write each other off and let's just fold our hands and say, I want nothing to do with that person. My question is, maybe for someone here tonight, how can you even enjoy communion? How can you even know what unity is if you cannot settle your contentious problems and disagreements? Amen? And so it really is a warning to us that we have power as women, but we must use our power to unite, to build, and not to break down. Amen? Or we will see no results. How are we going to see? We'll see little results. If there's, you know, when we read in Psalm 133, you know, how beautiful it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. There are going to be disagreements. There are going to be disappointments. But truly and honestly, we've got to become bigger people and get past it. You see here that even two women in the ministry can be not talking on speaking terms to each other. This ought not to be. Amen. And so we see, but what I wanted to really show you is in the Philippian church, there were great people. Lydia was there. The church was possibly started in her home. There were two incredible leaders, Syntyche and Eudia. And you know what? That is what I see within this house. I don't see the contentiousness, but it does exist. But this is who we are. So let's look tonight at characteristics of the women at Rivers. That's us. Amen? So the one thing I have learned about the church is the early church is like any other church. The early church, you know, I used to get like, oh, wow, if I could be transported in time and, you know, be there, you know, the day that the Holy Spirit fell in Jerusalem and, you know, there were tongues of fire and the company of women who were following Jesus. And, you know, and it's like the revelation is people are people made in the image of God, different eras, different fashions, different times, different customs, but the church has always just been about people. Amen? Just like we are right here. It's always been about people, people who are broken, people who are rich, people who are poor, people who are somewhere in the middle, some who have been raped, some who have been abused, some who have adopted children, some who have done amazing things, but we all, that's how, this is the mystery of the church. It is a miracle. God brings us together. He puts the lonely in families, all different backgrounds, color, creed. We've done all different things, but together we become one and we're united and we are forced to be reckoned with on the earth. Amen. So the first thing we see tonight is they were prayerful. They were prayerful. And you know, even before the gospel reached them, they were devoted and prayerful. And the Philippian church was born out of that prayer meeting held at the river, which is such a beautiful, beautiful picture for me. You know, I'm aware that the women here at Rivers are prayerful. I tell you why, because at our last prayer meeting, I don't know if you saw me, but I was very sneaky. I snuck from this group to that group. Every time we prayed for something different, I would move from this group to that group to that group, not because I was spying on anyone, but because I just wanted to enjoy it with everyone. And I want to tell you something. The last prayer meeting we had, I went from group to group, and the women were the warrior chicks in this house. They were the prayer warriors. I couldn't even get like a word in. I mean, it was just one after the other and coming back and forth. And I was like, these are prayer warriors of note. These are the women of Rivers Church. Amen. Come on. here tonight. So, you know, this is what the Bible teaches about prayer. James 5:13, it reads, are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Hallelujah. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together and pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer or prayer that believes will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. I love this. Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside out. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Whereas the NIV says, you know, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. And, you know, prayer is not just something we throw out in the morning on our way eating a piece of toast into the car. Morning, Lord. Sorry, I forgot to say good morning. Help me get that promotion today. In Jesus' name, amen. On goes the radio. No. You know, the person who lives right with God, who loves God, who has a loving relationship with God, has a language, a prayer language, and has a connection whereby time is given. You know, we say we tithe with our money. We must tithe with our time. We can't give the Lord a fraction of our day. We've got to give him our time as well. Amen. And we do that in prayer. So, you know, this morning, Pastor Andre went for a CT scan because, you know, earlier this year, I don't know if you remember, he told the congregation he was having issues. He had a double pulmonary embolism, like he had two clots in both lungs, and I mean, people die from this. He had internal bleeding. He was bleeding while he was preaching right here at the pulpit, with blood running down his legs, and you know, he's just had real challenges. And he went for his scan this morning, and he is completely clear in Jesus' name. We heard this week that the lady from Durban who shared her testimony recently, she shared about the fact that she had stage 4 cancer, which went into her blood, and that she went up for prayer, and that she was believing God. She was given the all clear this week. I'm sharing this with you because I want your faith to rise, and I've been praying and I've been believing God for people to be healed here tonight. And I want to ask you, why don't you just believe God right now for healing for the sick people in this room? And I'm going to ask you, if you don't want to come forward right here, we're going to anoint you with oil. Move very quickly if that's you. And we're going to pray one corporate prayer, and we're going to ask God to touch you and to heal you. Why not? Why can Evelyn Reddy be healed? Why can Pastor Andre be free from blood clots in his body? And you are still struggling, whatever it is that you are struggling with. You know, God is a miracle-working God. Amen. He's all-powerful, almighty. And we heard that we must, you know, anoint you with oil. And we've got leaders within our church, leaders, women leaders approved by this leadership here, who are going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith in the name of the Master. Who is the Master? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I see there's quite a group. Ladies, can you just move across if you don't mind? Thank you. Just move to make space so that these ladies can come in. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And listen to me, please. We are expecting God to do something. Can I have the rest of you just in an attitude of prayer? You know what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we are going to just grab hold of God's goodness, amen, by faith, and we're going to bring it down to earth. We're going to bring it down on each and every person here tonight who's desperate for God to touch them. And I'm going to start praying. Father God, Lord, Father God, we're just reminded as well of Sunday when Pastor Andre spoke about empty vessels. And Lord, we just empty ourselves of ourselves tonight, and we stand before you empty so that you can pour your anointing and your oil and yourself and your goodness and your Holy Spirit into us, Father God. We just thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. We welcome him in our midst, and we just want to say without him, we will not have the power to walk this walk and even to talk this talk, Father God. And so we just thank you that you've done something amazing and you will continue to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, team. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Paulette. Point number two. They were leaders. They were leaders. Someone had to lead that group. Someone had to come up with an idea, right? Someone had to say, come on, I'm going to, you know, rally the troops of the girls who love God, and we're going to meet at the Gangarts River, and we are just going to worship him there and pray and believe him for all of our needs. Amen? And Paul welcomed it. You know, Paul the apostle has been accused of not being a person who loves women, but yeah, I don't see him doing anything to correct this and say, what are you women doing here in the Word of God? He's going along with it. He is accepting of what God and his Holy Spirit was doing. He joined them. And you know, we have strong women at Rivers who lead and yet are respectful of the men in our world. I think of Kogi, who means so much to Pastor Andre and I and this church, who is a leader with compassion, a leader who's fair. She's like a Solomon with wisdom. She is fair. She's not harsh. She's awesome. Pastor Yannette and Dean. Pastor Yannette has been ordained a pastor only this year, but for the last 10 years, she's been leading alongside her husband, quietly pastoring the church with him. Pastor Claire, you know the wayward ones? Wife, that's Pastor Claire, who just pours her heart out and loves people and has come into her own and has a leadership gift and a pastoral gift on her life. Pastor Bridget, where are you? Yeah, in this role. Pastor Bridget, who goes gung-ho in that church, children's church next door, because it's a church in its own right, amen, who leads hundreds of teachers and gets them on the roster and makes sure that they're at their post. Pastor Mosa in Durban, who's just a honey, who is in love with the Lord, leads the youth, runs multitask, runs the foundation down there, just to name a few. Because there are many of you gorgeous girls who are leaders in your own right. But you know, as you can see already, I only have a few minutes left. Number three, they were discreet. So they were prayerful, they were leaders, they were discreet. There was no synagogue in that city. They didn't march through the city demanding a place of worship. They were happy to go outside of the city, worship God. They just got on with their devotions, not making demands on people, but bringing their needs to God, who knew, they knew would supply all their needs. And I believe that part of their prayers answered was when Paul and Silas and the company of the missionaries came in, and through that something significant happened. Number four, they were diverse. They were diverse, as we are. Diverse. Some were young. Some were young. You know, our young people are very respectful in this house. They've been trained properly by the leaders, by the youth leaders. They are respectful, they show honor, they are led, they are followers, and they are passionate for God. I think of Taya tonight. I don't know where she is. I just spotted you. Let's watch the screen for a minute.
I'm going to start from the beginning. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. So this is our first impression of God. And did you notice how every time it said God said he was going to do something, he did it? It says, and it was so, and God made. And this is so incredible because our first impression of God is that he keeps his promises. So how confident can we then be in a God who is unchanging, who from the very beginning kept his promises? How confident can we be that anything God said he would do for us, he can and God will?
If I only had a point something percent of that confidence at your age, my girl, watch this space. They were diverse. Some were young, some were older. Nuska, Mama Nuska, who heads up the foundation, couldn't be here because she's in the Eastern Cape at a funeral of a family member, but a Titus woman who models like the older woman modeling for the younger women, amen? And there are many of you like that within this house. Some were single. Roetha, who has kept herself pure for her wedding day. Some widows. Anusha. Let's watch the screen.
He was my best friend and a part of my life. Sorry. For 25 years. And now he is no more. But what I do know for certain, ladies, is that God was, he is, and he will always be in control. He will continue to carry us. I have learned that while our circumstances may continually change, God remains the same. We may never understand why we go through what we go through, but God will use it. I could not see the purpose of getting married so young and having a child at that age. But today, my baby girl stands beside me like a soldier. God had it all planned. I learned that every day is a choice. He will strengthen us as we choose to look to him and place our weak hands in his strong hands. We need to know that he knows the secret things. They belong to him. We must understand that we can rise in the face of adversity, for the God who is behind us is greater. I learned that it is he that provides all that we need. For me, he surrounded me with a sisterhood. A sisterhood of women. There is great power in sisterhood, ladies. We are stronger together. We have more potential within us than we even realize. He reveals what is in us through the fire. I learned that I won't thank him for all things, but I will praise him in all things.
Amen. Sorry I made you cry. Some single mothers, let's watch the screen.
I've always asked God, why me? Why did I have to come through all of this? As a single mom, having to raise kids, and I mean, it's financially wasn't easy because there was no help, it was just me. But God has always been a provider, he's always taken good care of me financially, in a place where I could then take care of my kids. Is my thing was always 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast your cares on me. And I've learned that if I didn't cast my cares on God, I would not be able to have done what I've been doing. It's not just the scripture, that's a way of life for me.
Amen. Amen. Diverse. And Anusha is still a gifted giver, a widow who is like a Lydia, who is still generous and hasn't allowed that to hold her back. Well, we know there was an influential businesswoman called Lydia. She was a mover and a shaker. There's nothing wrong or sinful when God prospers you. When you have a good work ethic like Lydia had, and you take your abilities and your creativity and you put it to work, and you earn good for God and good for his kingdom and good for your family, that's God's blessing on your life. The world would have us know that people who prosper, there's something wrong with them. But the way I see it, the righteous prospers and he adds no sorrow to them. Amen? We have many women who have the Lydia-like spirit on their lives. They are generous with their wealth like Lydia. One of the first Lydia-like people that I encountered at Rivers was Ginny Marston, who supported us in so many ways, a gifted giver, loved the sisters' ministry, always bringing gifts to the fore for everybody and helping with Sisters of Africa. And although retired as a businesswoman, still has that entrepreneurial spirit and is a gifted giver. I honor you all tonight. Sibongile Manganyi Roth, Businesswoman of the Year and an architect, is within this house, traveling at the moment, studying, doing all kinds of things, achieving so, so much, a generous woman of God. Natasha Rubin, a highly educated consultant. Sorry, I said the wrong Natasha. Should we go back? Natasha Andreoni, a photographer. Can we go back there? Isn't she beautiful? Natasha, a photographer, generous. Our sister's magazine is part of what we see there is because of who she is and her kindness and her generosity. Natasha Rubin, who releases her husband, Irwin, to serve God full-time at Rivers. She's like the breadwinner in her home and is highly educated, a gifted giver. And these are only to name a few girls because time just won't permit. But you know what happens when an influential entrepreneur meets a servant of God? Lydia and Paul made such a powerful combination. Because she had the home, she had the heart, she had the willingness, but he was the called one to come in and establish the work of God as the apostle that he was. Amen? An ex-rabbi turned evangelist teaches the gospel, and a businesswoman gets to know the Lord Jesus. You know, no doubt Lydia relocated to Philippi from Turkey, from Thyatira, to ply her trade. And so it is Lydia's trade that brings her to Macedonia and Paul's missionary travels that brings him to Macedonia, but it is the Holy Spirit who brings them together. Many women trade in Johannesburg. Many people have moved from Durban, from Cape Town, from the Free State, from Kimberley, from Timbuktu to this place. And it's in being here as business people, as CEOs, as lawyers, as, you know, architects, that they have collided with the servants of God of this house and are now themselves builders of this house. Amen? This is just so amazing to me. You know, we celebrate you, you movers and shakers. As you prosper, you may be criticized. But like Lydia, know who you are. And know whose you are, amen? And use your resources for the good of the kingdom of God. Number five, they were hungry. And I think that that speaks of all of us. We're here tonight, we're hungry for God, we're hungry for his presence. Lord Jesus, speak to us. Your servants are listening. Show us what you want us to do. Show us how we can make a difference to our own lives and to the lives of others, amen? It says that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. You know, we must have a heart open to the gospel. The same God who opened the way for Paul to make it to Macedonia opened the heart of Lydia to receive the engrafted word of God that was sown. So these women were teachable. Number six, they were converted. They were changed and transformed. You know, to be converted means to be changed and transformed. We can't just, you know, put our hand up, sorry, because I speak for myself. I was one of those people who put their hands up. But we got to actually, and not just sit in the pew and be churchians. We can't be churchians. We've got to be Christians. Amen? And that means something had to happen. The light had to go on. Amen. The word had to come in and change us from the inside out. And this is what we see they were, as many of our women at Rivers have been transformed. They were baptized, number seven. Why wait to be baptized? Philip and the eunuch, You know, when Philip led the eunuch to the Lord, it was the eunuch who said, what keeps me from being? There's a river, let me go and be baptized. That's the spirit, amen? Lydia opened her home, number 8. They were hospitable. Again and again, possibly the Philippian church came from there. Number 9, they were generous. Been said, but it's the truth. Later, when Paul writes to his letter to the Philippians, he expresses his gratitude in this way. Look what it says in Philippians 4:15. It says, "You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel," hello, when was the early days? The Gangites River, right? "When I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone." No wonder when Paul writes to them, he says, "You're my joy. You're my crown in this work. I love you and I miss you." Why? Because of this very special relationship and this amazing church that God allowed to be founded in the house of Lydia. They were the generous ones, the hospitable ones, the faithful ones. And it all started with Lydia, a woman who worshipped at the river with a company of other women. I thank God for our women at Rivers who are motivated by faith and kindness and love and are builders of this local church. We salute you. There is power in the way God uses you to serve Him here and your local church. You have shown that you are here for the long haul. May what you do continue to grow and expand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.